You are listening to the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. This is a ministry of Christian Assembly Church in Los Angeles, California. I am your host, Marvin Enriquez, and this is how we get down.
Well, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. Something that you should
get place on the week.
Something that you should never do when you're starting to record is talk over me, and this is exactly what's happening.
sorry.
Welcome.
More important things.
To the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast of choice in Southern California.
Absolutely.
Yes. I was just studying this, but we were looking at the demographics for the podcast. The demographic. Isn't that how you say it?
Well, that's what you say it.
So. The demographics for... The demographic for Southern California in the Eagle Rock area, we're the number one podcast by left-handed people with short hair.
On Colorado and Ellenwood.
Well, north of Colorado.
that drive a Harley. Yes.
And ride a Harley. That's right. So, hey, thanks to all you short-haired, left-handed people that are listening to the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. Around...
That were snipers in the Army.
Around the round table we have Robert. I'm back to being late, Concepcion.
Well, they closed the freeway exit, so I had to make a detour all the way to Figueroa.
George, this guy was late 15 minutes, and he says they closed the freeway exit, but he walks in with coffee.
With a Starbucks wrapper.
Coffee was down from our
I don't know. Did they close the freeway where you live?
No, we're a block away, so I don't...
It close when you came up here through Harvey?
No, I got here on time.
Oh, well.
So. Me too. They did not close the freeway where I live either. But Robert, welcome back, and I'm glad you're still alive, and you're always late.
I wouldn't say always.
Well, 90% late. George!
I'm still alive.
I'm still alive. George, I'm Hot Flash Fernandez.
Oh, this is always Hot Flash.
Always Hot Flash. So, with the weather being what it is, 100 degrees every day, the hot flashes are getting to you, huh?
It's getting, they're coming fast and furious. Yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad you are postmenopausal, and...
That changes the demographics.
Oh, thanks, everybody. Today is July 20th, 2023. I don't know what says G after 20. Today is July 20th, 2023, and this is the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. Well, question for you guys. What is the dumbest thing you ever bought? That is the question of choice today. So I'll give you a moment to think about it. I was at Disney World with my son this past March. We did a father-son trip to Florida, and we went, had an amazing time, and we're there. And while we were there, there's all kinds of stuff that you can buy. And I told my son, no, son, it's too expensive. You have a limited budget. And, he had a little money for little trinkets. But...
What's a trinket?
Curios.
I think it's the other way around.
He's little tchotchkes.
Little tchotchke, yeah.
So we had limited budget for tchotchkes. But we went to the Star Wars area of Disney parks. Have you been? Yeah, have you been to the Star Wars land?
What is that? What is that?
We have sound effects now.
Oh, yeah. By the way, listeners...
You'll be happy to know that this will be our last recording with our current equipment.
Oh, I thought it stopped at last recording there.
No. Not ever. No, we're going to... The new and improved Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast will be coming in fall 2023.
Because of the donations of all the listeners.
Because of your faithful donations and because we've monetized...
The Spotify money that we get.
That's right.
Because
we have $4.73.
Yeah, and plus we're canceling the barbecue.
We didn't cancel it. It's coming.
Okay. I thought we canceled. That's why we're getting mics.
No. We're getting brand new equipment, including a four mixer sound tray box thing.
That's what it's called, right?
And four microphones. So now we can record a fourth person without having to share a microphone.
Yeah, we don't have to
pass
it
back and forth.
Yes, that's embarrassing.
Do you remember that? That's how we started this thing. We started with two mics.
Tommy, give me the mic. And he wouldn't remember. That was embarrassing wrestling with Tommy Walker on the ground to get the mic from him.
Anyway, we're upgrading our equipment because you guys have faithfully listened to us, and it feels like it's worth the investment now. So thanks again. So back to my story.
We're investing in you.
We are investing in
you. Yes.
Men of CA.
Right. Yes.
Sound effects again, please.
Oh, well, I think the point we were trying to make is that we'll have access to sound effects with that new mixer.
Not as good as that last one.
But we'll have some pre-recorded sound effects. Back to the story. I'm at Disney World, and we're in the Star Wars land. Did you know that there is a place at Star Wars land that you can go in and make your own lightsaber?
Again, with the...
I think that sound effect comes up when you walk into this store. So you walk into the store. I don't know if you guys have been to the store.
No. This is in Orlando, right?
Well, they have one here at Disneyland as well.
I don't think they have that store.
They don't? No, they do.
There's a store that you make out light. You make lightsabers.
They do. They have a store where you make your own lightsaber.
How do you make it?
You walk in, and you know, there's different blades and colors and handles.
Well, he means plastic that you put on top of a flashlight.
Okay, basically that's blades. What it is, bro. But guess what? These things cost $275.
No, they don't.
I promise you.
That's a trinket.
Somebody out there.
If you bought one,
George. All right. George, you know me better than that.
You bought two. You know me better than that. I bought two. One for me.
I'm on a very limited budget.
And then I sold it for $500.
And so my 15-year-old son is looking at me with crocodile tears in his eyes. And I'm like, son, no. That's three times our trinket budget. Caleb. Our tchotchke budget was not $275.
I am your father.
I said, you have...
You're not getting this.
You have like $50 to spend, not $275. And but guess what? Jeez.
There's a line.
But guess what?
Oh, no.
It's not kids. It's grown men in this line.
Lightsabers.
I mean, grown men in their 40s in line.
Seriously?
To drop $300 for a flashlight with a plastic end on it. What are you going to do when you get home and you realize, oh, man, that was an impulse buy. I just spent $300 on a lightsaber that I'm now going to put in my shelf or on a bookshelf.
Brother, this says what you ever bought. Did you buy this?
I promise you I didn't.
Yes, you did. Caleb was the one saying that. How come you only the one gotten one and you didn't give me one?
So this is...
Dad, can I be going back and forth while we're on the scooter, the buddy?
So this is what I told Caleb. I said, son, I don't think we can get that through the airport. It's considered a weapon. So I told him not to. So we went and bought the cheap one.
You lied to your son. Because lied to your son.
I wasn't sure.
So that you can avoid $275. Way to go, Pastor Marvin.
I wasn't sure if
Either we have an airfare ticket to get home or we have a lightsaber.
That's right. What do you want? That was the compromise. I didn't know if it would get through TSA anyway. And so we went and bought the cheap one that collapses and it's like $20. We bought one of those.
That's $5 down here.
Well, here, but at Disneyland, it's $20. But we didn't buy the $275. But there were grown men buying $300 lightsabers. Now, I know somebody listening to this right now pulled their car over and is really mad at me.
That was me!
Because and if that's you, let me just say.
We're going to shame you.
I hope you enjoy your $300 lightsaber.
And come talk to the...
come talk to the stewardship pastor.
So he can shame you.
Okay. What is the dumbest thing you have ever bought?
You still haven't shared what you bought.
No. Well, I was a witness to people buying these things.
Trust me.
I paid for the whole vacation. That alone is the dumbest thing I ever bought.
Oh. Caleb, I hope you're not.
No, you're not hearing this. It was great. Great memories. What is the dumbest thing you ever bought, George Fernandez?
I can't think of anything.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm serious.
I know you splurge. What about that necklace you're wearing? Where'd you get that?
Oh, this is from... I've had it since Easter's.
Where'd you get that?
In Spain.
Oh, in Spain. Is a little tchotchke he bought in Barcelona.
There you go.
Yeah, how much did that cost you, buddy?
I don't know. It did.
It's a $275...
For those of you listening, it's a wooden... It looks like wood necklace of little beads. And he wears it outside. It looks like Native American imprint or something. Yeah. Some kind of...
It's got in Barcelona.
Yeah. Well, how much did that set you back, buddy?
Not that much.
Well, give us a ballpark.
It's not that
more
much.
More than $100?
No. I don't think so. It's a fashion statement. What's the statement I'm making? You spent too much money on those little wood beads.
Wood beads. So if you ever see Mr. Fernandez on Sunday morning, ask him to show you his beads. But you don't get nothing in return. Robert, you're wearing an Alaska hat. What did you drop some money on?
Uh, You know, as you get older, you, less dumber things, right? But when I was, I knew when I started playing golf, I spent some things on gadgets that kind of want to help me putting or you know, whatever it is, that the newest and latest thing that I look at it now, I'm like, why did I buy this thing? So it was more for, you know, golf for me.
Like, you have those little viewfinders that tell you how far the range is.
Well, that's
yeah,
a necessity.
It's called a caddy.
That's a necessity.
Oh, that's a necessity. That's not a dumb thing.
Yeah, that's a necessity.
Okay, so what are we talking about dumb things here then? Like ball cleaner?
Yeah, ball cleaner or like a putter, a putting mat that has a return. No, that's not what you think, George. Come on. But,
you want to keep your balls.
All right, all right, all right.
Never mind. Okay. Well,
how does that work?
I have one too.
I have one.
What's yours?
When I bought a third car that I didn't need, and it was just kind of
a, your little Alfa Romeo.
No, it was a
the Jag.
Carmagia.
No. Carmagia. The Carmagia. I always wanted one, and we bought one. And shortly after we bought it, and I looked, and it was a 1972, the last year they made it, and it was really, I was very happy and excited. I was going to be like a fun car for Lisa, and then we found out she was pregnant with Kanan.
Wait, for Lisa? Lisa didn't want a Carmagia with no AC.
No,
every...
just fun.
It was for George.
Yeah, I know it was. George. For Lisa. So it was that's
gift,
what he
it
said.
It was a gift for Lisa, and then when
there's
she...
no AC. I think he has to crank it up.
And then the smell yeah. from the engine. But she got pregnant, and we never, obviously I wasn't going to put her in the car pregnant. It just wasn't
no airbags
safe.
Yeah
no so
was
just...
it because of the car that she got pregnant, or she was pregnant prior to the car?
No. So that was, I lost money on that. Yeah. I didn't really get to enjoy it. We had it for like a year.
So about lease our car.
I've enjoyed that for 20 plus.
Well, I'll tell you what, since you brought up the sports thing, I my wife rolls her eyes now because I did buy myself a new pickleball paddle. And
well, why
I,
does she roll her eyes on that? You are a former pickleball champ
I'm
of the CLB team.
I'm not the former. I'm still the current.
Oh, actually, no.
I was dethroned.
Come on
that's
now.
True. That's
by?
True. By Ralph.
And Nicole pregnant.
And
what?
Coley
and
pregnant.
Nicole pregnant.
Pregnant Coley.
Pregnant Coley. Yeah, but I also, who's my partner though?
I don't know.
I'm
who
not going to throw her under
your
the
partner?
Bus, but I'm not going to.
Who was your partner?
Jill. Byron is listening to this podcast. Jill, we love you, and you're
just threw Jill, the best announcer we have on.
Hey,
on
she's
CN.
A great announcer, not so great
and
at pickleball.
You,
let's
you
just
threw her under the bus.
But you still lost to pregnant Coley.
I did.
Pregnant Coley.
And Ralph and
Coley
70-year-old Ralph.
And when
70-year-old
Ralph.
Okay, I'm not gonna go there. I'm not going over there.
Over his head. No, he's in his 60s. No.
But he was.
But
speaking, he was good though.
He was pretty good.
And but, Coley.
And Coley, good. She's good.
She's
pregnant, but she
there.
Can waddle around.
No, she stood there and she smashed
stood
balls.
Stood there and smashed balls.
Really?
Yeah. One after another.
Tell me again what happened.
With the paddle.
What did she do?
With the paddle. But you know what? Let me tell you this. I did purchase a paddle that was probably more than I should have purchased
there
on a paddle.
There we go.
Stewardship pastor. My
how
wife
much,
looked at me.
How much was you to spend?
My wife looked 50? At me and said.
More than $100?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's those things around about $275, $250. Just like the lightsaber, you know?
No,
that's the price
no.
that they. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't spend $270. I spent $150 on a paddle.
Where?
Online.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
And like Robert says, there are some that go for well over 200.
Yeah, but those are probably people that play in the league, right?
I play in the league.
What league?
You broke your ankle jumping over paint, or whatever it was.
I am.
Are you really that serious about pickleball, my friend?
I am, and wow. I am currently on bed rest. By doctor's orders. Thank
you. Oh, because your knee.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Justin Yang. By the way, gave
what
me an MRI this week.
So yeah, what
I had a. I had a, what do they call the shots there? I had a cortisone shot on Monday.
Oh, so this is
my
from,
knee was in so much pain
so
playing
what do you
pickleball.
Have?
What
no, that? Pickleball
have
or basketball?
Bone, I have a bone bruise. Both. So I can't play either pickleball or basketball.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a bone bruise, which he described as basically having a fracture in your knee.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not like a bruise, like when you bruise your muscle, where it just turns purple for a little
what
bit.
What did you hit?
I don't know. It's probably happened during pickleball. But I have no cartilage, so my bone is bone on bone.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah.
Well, wow. that's a great buy for the great racket for now you have.
Yeah, so I have a beautiful racket,
sitting there
next to my lightsaber that also costs $300. Okay, so guys, tell us, what is the dumbest thing you ever bought? Let us know at men@cachurch.com and just let us know. Hey.
And if the five best responses will get something free.
A pickleball, a lightsaber, a trinket,
a ball cleaner, and a Car Magia. A Volkswagen Car Magia. Was it convertible?
No.
Those are kind of sweet little cars.
They are. They used to call it, I think they said the...
Poor man's Porsche?
It was a bug and a bug with a...
But he doesn't like the poor man...
It's like a poor man's Porsche.
I know, but then that's why he got rid of it.
Well, he wants the actual Porsche. He doesn't want the poor man's Porsche. Yeah. All right. Well, it is time for the sports report. So give us the sound effect again, George. No, that's the sports report ticker. That's the sports ticker. There you go. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Hey, that's a good one too. All right. It is time for the sports report. I want to happy to report that our CA Men's Basketball League just concluded, and the Fusion team led by Miles Crawford won the championship. No surprise.
Is that the Ringer team?
Well, they're not ringers, but they're all D1 college level players. Well,
they can dunk the ball. D1 is for dunk.
Not only can they dunk, they were throwing it off the backboard and then dunking. I mean, they were doing Harlem Globetrotter stuff.
So when Rico and Ralph are trying to guard them, that wasn't going over well.
Rico and Ralph were not playing. But we had a team of Filipinos that ended up in the championship game against Miles.
Really?
I'm telling you, man.
They were good.
You guys are probably sharing and playing good team ball.
The one you preach, right? When you play basketball, you gotta.
They were good. They were 4-1.
Move the ball around.
They were 4-1. The champions were 5-0.
Wow.
Or 6-0.
Who was good?
All of them.
Vay is good. He's not Filipino, but Vay is good. Vay was a captain. They had this guy with a headband.
Ryan.
There's no Filipino named Ryan.
Julian. They're
good.
Yes.
Young dudes?
No. Across the board, middle age. There's this little short guy. I don't know who he is, but that dude shoots lights out.
Do you know who is that, Robert?
That's our secret weapon.
Hey,
we're coming back next year.
He's a liability on defense, but he can shoot.
So really?
Yeah,
man. Muggsy Pung Pung.
Yeah, kind of. Muggsy Pung Pung. That's insane. So congratulations to Miles.
I'm glad you're not a profiler.
We are halfway through the Major League Baseball season, so let's get a little update. Dodgers currently sit in first place.
Not a surprise.
It is a surprise given that their team is not as great this year, and yet they find ways to win. Dave Roberts, a great coach. Good team playing. I mean, of course, they have Mookie Betts, they have Freddie Freeman, they have some excellent players.
Who did they add this year that it's making a difference?
They did not add anyone this year. In fact, they subtracted.
You weren't that high on Freeman when they got him. I told you he was really, really
I
like good.
Freeman. I didn't think he was a world-class player like he is. But yes,
he's the best hitter
I've ever seen. One of the best hitters I've ever
seen.
Yes.
He's a big dude.
Pure hitter.
He's like 6'5".
But they didn't add anybody. They subtracted. They lost Trey Turner. They lost Bellinger, who, you know, wasn't much of a
subtraction.
It wasn't a loss. They lost some pitching. But they're still plugging in, and they're still in first place. Now, they're not running away with a division, and it's harder. They're only a game and a half over the Giants, as we currently sit.
And Arizona.
But however, still in first place with not as great a team. And trade deadline's coming up. Hopefully, they'll pick up some pitching along the way, get them stronger. But here's the real storyline of the season so far is what will happen to Ohtani? Shohei, where will he go?
Who's he playing with? He's playing with the Angels now, right?
He's currently on the Angels. The Angels are below 500 or right at 500. And they have a decision to make. Do they trade him and get assets back in return? They're going to get a lot for him. Or
he is the best player in baseball.
He's the best player in baseball in a generation. Not just...
Multiple.
Yes.
He's an all-star pitcher.
I mean,
his
skill set is unique. Since Babe Ruth, nobody's ever pitched and hit the way he does.
And been an all-star.
At both.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But wait, doesn't he belong to a league that has designated hitters?
Yes.
So he doesn't get to hit.
He does.
He gets in the lineup.
He's
to hit.
A DH when he doesn't pitch.
And when he pitches, he hits and he bats cleaner.
Yeah. I mean, he can still hit as a pitcher.
These are his stats right now. He's hitting .306.
Wow.
He also has 11 stolen bases. I didn't even realize that. He has 35 home runs.
What?
And 76 RBIs.
Halfway through the season, Rob. On pace to hit close to 70. So okay. What do you do with that, though? The Angels are probably not going to make the playoffs.
Is he Japanese?
Yes.
He's 29, so he's in his prime.
Are not going to make the playoffs. So do you trade him? He's at the end of his contract. Do you trade him and get back a lot of young prospects? Or do you hope to re-sign him, which you probably won't, and get nothing back? The Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Red Sox. They're trying, but he's clearly not trying to play on a losing team.
He hasn't gone to the playoffs.
Keep in mind that to re-sign him, he's going to be by far the most expensive player ever in the history.
Who can afford him?
Dodgers,
There's
Yankees.
There's probably about four or five teams.
Dodgers, Yankees, maybe the Red Sox.
Don't they have caps? Salary caps?
No. But the Dodgers, Yankees will blow right past the cap and pay whatever tax. It's not a hard cap. So then you pay a salary tax.
Here's what I just looked. I didn't realize. In his career, I mean, I'm looking really at the last 3 years, but his strikeouts, this is just, I didn't realize how great of a pitcher. 450 innings pitched, 580 strikeouts.
Have you seen him play? That's incredible.
I saw him in the All-Star game when I went last year, but I've never gone out to Anaheim to watch
him. But even on TV.
Yeah.
He's a 450 shots.
What's his best pitch?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, fastball, but he mixes his pitch as well. I mean, he's a
fastball. Fastball at 90, 98, 95?
Probably mid-90s.
For him to have that many strikeouts, he has to throw hard.
Yeah. Mid to high 90s.
Or maybe movement. A lot of movement.
That's what it is.
Maddux had a lot of movement many years ago, and he didn't have his strike. He's just a stud.
Tough decisions for the Angels. Trade him to the Dodgers. We'll happily take him off your hands. We got plenty of prospects to give you in return.
That would kill the Angels because it's your cross-town.
They came out this week and said under no circumstances
will we trade him to the Dodgers.
Yeah. They'd rather him go to New York, they'd rather him go to Chicago, Boston.
You can't do that. Yeah. Even though that the Dodgers have one of the best farm clubs.
They'd get the most in return probably because the Dodgers have the best assets to give.
Yeah.
Okay, so given that it's the midseason.
Two-way trade, right?
They don't have that in baseball.
Oh, they don't?
Baseball's the Angels don't have different. That kind of money, really.
Baseball's different because he's going to command
$500 million. The Angels don't have that kind
There's
of money.
There's no cap in baseball, really, and all the contracts are guaranteed. So it's different than football, and it's different than basketball because there's no cap. So it's...
A lot of Angels, diehard Angels fans.
All right, so I'm going to give you guys the easiest baseball trivia ever. All you have to do... When you think you know the answer, is respond with your name. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. There you go. Respond with your name. Your name is your buzzer. Are you ready? First to three wins.
What is the category?
Baseball. Easy baseball trivia. Easy. It's just easy enough for you, Robert.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Which position... Which position,
George? Yeah, sure.
Which position is known as one on the diamond? Your name is your buzzer.
Robert.
Yes, Robert.
Catcher.
No.
Pitcher.
Correct.
Okay.
George has 1 point. When you keep your score, one is a pitcher. Okay. In a typical starting rotation, how many pitchers?
Jorge. Five.
Correct. That's two. Come on, Robert. Man. Get on the board. All right.
the guy is just...
Captain Clutch and Mr. November are the nicknames of which player?
Robert,
yes.
Reggie Jackson.
Oh, close. No.
That would be the former shortstop of the Yankees. Who was an owner.
He can't remember the name.
Isn't Mr. November Reggie Jackson?
Mr. October.
October.
But good try.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
the shortstop of the Yankees, I can't remember.
Derek Jeter. I won't give you the point for that one.
Derek Jeter.
Okay, just as a bonus, who's known as Mr. April? No, I'm kidding. That's a trick question. Okay.
The Angels.
All right. What is Mr. a ground Hoover. Rule double? Easy.
Robert.
Yes.
Why do you have to go rank?
Well, I don't know. It's, I know. Why do I have to do that? All right. It's the buzzer. It's when the ball hops over the fence.
Yay! Give him a point. He's off. He's on the board.
Hey.
2-1, George. Okay.
Do you want me to really play?
Yes.
Okay.
No!
Okay, be ready for this one. Who holds the record for most home runs in a single season?
Come on, quickly, Robert. Quickly.
Robert,
quickly,
come on.
Quickly. Barry.
Oh, well, you know, you gave it. Barry Bonds, right?
Yeah, that's right. Barry Bonds is the correct one. All right, last question. George already won, but last question. The only player to have ever played in a Super Bowl and in a World Series is who?
Bo Jackson.
Good guess, but no.
No!
Sorry, the Raiders never made the Raiders never made the Super Bowl.
Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders is correct.
Deion Sanders played baseball as well?
Yes, he did.
For who?
Atlanta. Braves. Atlanta and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Shows you how much I know about baseball.
All right. Actually, who is the Wizard?
Washington.
Those are the Wizards. Ozzie Smith. Who's the big unit?
Randy Johnson.
Did you say eunuch?
Who is the big eunuch in baseball?
It's Randy Johnson.
All right. Well, Robert, tell us what's happening the men of CA. Woohoo!
I need the dates, George, for the men's gathering.
What's going on? Go ahead, tell us.
What's happening, Robert?
We're having a men's gathering happening in September.
What day?
Right here, September 13th at 7 p.m.
Right. That's right.
Yep. Tailgate party at 5:30 p.m.
And what will we be eating?
What does that mean, the tailgate party?
Last time we had tacos, didn't we?
At the men's conference, we had tacos.
We had carne asadas.
Are we going to be barbecuing?
We are not going to be barbecuing ourselves. However,
don't tell me pizzas again. Come on, bro.
You're not a fan of pizzas, huh?
Well, not from the place you get it from.
Big Mama's and Papa's is good pizza, dude.
It was large.
That's all we can say about
that. Okay, we are not having pizza. We're having something even better than pizza. Come on, drum up some excitement. Robert, tell us what it is.
I don't know. We're having this better.
We're having a smoking trailer. A trailer that smokes. Me.
Cigars.
No.
Cigars and whiskeys. No. Oh, man. I was going to...
The whiskeys.
The first thing that I when you said smoking trailer, I'm like, was this like a lounge?
I'm going to go into a trailer and
you
smoke?
You smoke cigars?
Now that... Peach and chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, man. No,
not that kind of smoke. We're going to smoke some meats, man.
I've never seen those. So
you never seen a trailer that comes and smokes? No.
They put like pellets and stuff.
Yeah,
like
you know that comes and does smoke. Yeah, we're gonna have barbecue, old fashioned American barbecue.
Don't you do that overnight?
Barbecue.
Don't those things depends like a marinade or something? Don't
we
you know
will
things?
Marinate and smoke. And,
they probably
and crystallize
probably start in the morning.
And cook and burn.
Hey,
all of those meats that you want will be smoked. Hey.
For the demographics.
For all of us barbecue-loving American men fanatics.
Matt Price is
going to come.
Hey, well, let me think about
Lindsay,
that.
Hey, Lindsay, would you like me to smoke some meat for you?
Smoke some meat for you. All right. Well, I don't know. George, why are you on the floor?
George, get off the floor.
Why are you rolling on the floor?
Just hearing Marvin's impersonation. And then
not good, huh? Well, listen, the tailgate party, we'll have barbecue.
Well, wait a minute. Who's going to be barbecuing this?
They will. They will.
Who's they?
The smokers.
The smokers?
The trailer.
We are. We're renting a trailer.
We're renting it, but who's barbecuing it?
You, me, George, all of us.
Ruben, pee-pee.
Ruben's not even.
He's not here.
He didn't come to CA anymore. Hey, Ruben, we love you. Where are you, man?
He's not listening.
This show is off the rails. Yeah. But listen, come to the men's gathering on September 13th, 7 o'clock. What else is happening?
What kind of meats do you smoke?
Tri-tip. Sausage.
Ribs. Well, how many meats are we going to, kinds of meats we're going
to? I don't know. Just throw them all in there, bro. I don't know how to smoke meat. Just throw
them on there, bro. Just throw them on there, bro.
Listen, this is not.
That's okay. Like my license plate. Right?
1 Thessalonians 14?
Yes. Just throw them on there, bro.
The DMV guy was like, sir, you're a pastor. What would you like to put on your license plate? Just throw anything on there. Well,
throw
it
on there, bro.
How about 1 Thessalonians 14? I like it.
That'll work.
It'll always spark a conversation.
Lisa's poking him in the ribs. Honey, there's no 14 chapters in Thessalonians.
There is now.
What Bible have you been reading?
I'm adding to it.
But men's gathering September 13th. What else is happening in 2024 that we are excited about?
You excited for this, George?
I am.
Are you really? Rob, tell us what it is.
Men's Retreat is back. Woo! This is why we need the soundboard.
Isn't that
Ric Flair?
Ric Flair. Woo!
That's John Strobas.
Did he pass away or no?
Did Ric Flair die?
I think so. I don't know.
Or one of our listeners, can you check us here on the stats? Did Ric Flair die or not? Is he dead?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Who's Ric Flair?
You don't know? Oh, he doesn't know who Ric Flair is. You don't know Ric Flair? He's a wrestler. All right, tell us more about this retreat.
It's going to be a fall retreat, October 25 to 27.
Yeah.
Next year, 2024.
Next year, 2024.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah. So why are we telling you a year and some change in advance?
Why? Do we have the place even?
We do. Forest Home, where we went and saw bears.
Are you sure it's not Forest Lawn?
That's another visit.
That's where Ric Flair apparently is.
Forest Home.
No, he's alive.
Oh, he's alive. Okay.
He's alive.
Forest Home in the beautiful San Bernardino Mountains.
Where? Boy. This is a tough morning for you.
San Bernardino Mountains.
Throw on your meats.
What? No, the San Bernardino?
Yep.
Yeah. Bernardino.
San Bernardino.
Bernard.
Sir?
Yeah, I have a hard time with that word.
Yeah, that one and demographics.
Demographics. Bernardino.
Yeah. That's
San Bernardino.
Get off the floor, Marvin.
I don't know what to say. Okay. San Bernardino Mountain.
Don't just chop it up, San Bernardino. It's not that either.
Okay, Robert, where are we going to retreat?
Forest Home, where the bears are.
Where's Forest Home?
San Bernardino.
Thank you, that one. That mountain. We're going there in 2024. So mark your calendar, okay. Pray, and invite a friend.
Marvin, you checked out this place yet?
How were you?
We went there.
You stayed with us.
Well, I know, but it wasn't ready for a retreat. I mean, in terms of a whole lot of people going there.
It is ready, buddy.
They've done all of their...
All of it.
Little House on the Prairie cabins.
It is ready, Robert. They're not Little House on the Prairie. They're beautiful.
I don't think we're doing a good job of selling all right,
we're not
it.
Selling
yeah.
this retreat.
Guys,
they finally fix a place and the sewage problem they had? Are we going that place?
Also, no, I just want to say that we're not out camping in tents and we're not.
We're not. We're staying in beautiful Little House on the Prairie cabins, as you've described. No, they're beautiful places.
Yeah.
Check it out on the website, foresthome.org, in the beautiful San Bernardino Mountains.
Mark your calendars, boys.
All right. Well, listen. We want to talk about, and I want you guys to jump in on the conversation here. We want to talk about this thing called the four stages of leadership. You both are two of the most well-seasoned, well-adjusted,
smoking meat. Well-seasoned, highly smoked.
Speaking of smoking meat. You guys are quality leaders. And somebody might be sitting, listening to us now saying, okay, you're going to talk about leadership. All the other stuff you guys did was really good. Or not. But now we're talking about leadership. I'm not a leader. What would you say to that guy who thinks he's not a leader, George?
You're probably right. No. I would say that we all have the capacity and responsibility and ability to lead. It's whether you take ownership of that and do it in the way that God would want you to. And I think the first thing would be is that you lead by serving.
Totally. And Robert, I mean, think about it. You know, some guys that are sitting there thinking, I'm not a leader. I'm just out here, you know, doing my trade. You know, maybe they're on their job right now. Maybe they're serving up coffee drinks, whatever they happen to be doing. And that's all good stuff. But we're leading in some capacity, right? What are some of the areas that men may not traditionally think of themselves as leaders, but they're leading?
Well, absolutely. I think just your circle of influence, if you look at it, you know, you might not call yourself as a leader, but I'm sure you've steered in some, you know, someone in your life to one thing, like a recommended, maybe just even a restaurant or small things like that. You're actually leading in the sense where you're pointing a direction to where people can just look to, not necessarily have a group of people follow you around, but just, you know, give them an example of, like George says, lead by example, but lead from your experience as well.
Yeah, and I want you to think about it this way, guys. If you have influence over one other person, you are leading, mm-hmm. right? You're leading. You're setting the example, like Robert said. You're setting the tone. Others might be following you. Now, you might not be intentional in your leadership, and that's what we want to get you to understand and think about over the next few minutes as we talk about the four stages of leadership. And this is all biblical. Jesus modeled these four stages from us. So we're going to really learn from the life and leadership of Jesus. And what I want you to hear us talk about, man, I want you to think about as you listen to these four stages, I want you to maybe diagnose or think about which one of the stages you might currently find yourself in and how you can grow in and through that stage of leadership. So
sounds like huddle.
It sounds like huddle. Good. So the four stages of leadership.
Learn more about it, join us.
Yeah. By the way, if you ever want to join a huddle, if you want to,
this is an example.
If you want to lead, talk to George and myself because we're leading a huddle on Wednesday nights. And Robert, you're leading one on
Wednesday nights as well.
As well. So with you Ralph. Can talk to any one of us and we can get you plugged into a huddle group. And we'll tell you more about what that means down the road. But first, the first stage of leadership that Jesus talks about is really a simple stage, which is setting a vision. Let's call it the visionary director, right? You're casting a vision. You're helping people see a picture of what could be. So for example, we, not so well, painted a picture of an upcoming retreat for you guys just a few minutes ago. And we were hopeful that by the end of that, you'd be excited about...
Are those cabins fixed? Ah, that was ready.
Yeah, we were... So maybe that wasn't a good example, but maybe it was a bad example of setting a vision. Point being is a visionary leader casting a vision is you're helping people envision what could be. It's not something that maybe is already there, but you're saying, hey...
What can be.
What can be. Come and do this with me. So Jesus did that so well when he goes around to fishing towns, really, right, and starts looking at fishermen and people performing their everyday trades of life. And what does Jesus tell them? Come and follow me. Come and be with me. And I...
Wait, come and see.
Come and see. Well, that's the topic of our current teaching series. But Jesus says, come and follow me. And what does he promise or what does he tell them?
I will make you fishers of men.
Right? So he sees people doing their trade, people going about their normal life, but also understanding that they want more out of their life than just going out every day and sitting on a boat and bringing in the nets. Mm-hmm. And it just gets repetitive, right? And so he says, hey, come and follow me. I'm going to show you a different way to fish. I'm going to show you a different thing to do. Come and follow me, and I'm going to help you be fishers of men. And so he does that several times. He does it to Simon and Andrew. He calls out to them. He later also makes that same call to James and John. And so Jesus is setting tone. So that first stage of leadership is casting a vision, helping people understand. And really, you're not expecting much out of the people that are responding to that visionary call, right? James and John, Simon and Andrew, they didn't know what fishing for men looked like. They just knew, hey, here's this person. He's offering us something a little more attractive than what we're currently doing, giving us purpose and meaning in life. So let's go and do that. So in your own setting, men, as you think about this, maybe you find yourself in that visionary role. Like you're helping people see a vision. Hey, come and follow me. Let's do this together. And it might be something simple like around your family time, setting the vision for your family of, hey, let's follow Jesus together. Let's set the tone. Let's have a weekly family devotional. Let's go to church regularly. Let's listen to this podcast together and let's really be enriched by it. Okay,
that's not setting the tone.
So Jesus is giving a lot of direction, but he's not giving very much explanation. He's not telling them how they're going to fish for men. He's not saying, you know, this is what you're going to do. That'll come later.
Not a lot of details.
He's not looking for a lot of competency in the men. He's not saying, hey, let me see your resume and let me see what qualifications you have to fish for men. He's just saying, hey, come and follow me. All I need is an enthusiastic heart, a willingness.
Buy-in.
He needs buy-in. So if you're in that first stage of leadership, that's what you're looking for. People who are enthusiastic, people who want some buy-in. You're setting the tone. You're casting a vision of what could be. It's a new project. Can you think about every time you've started a new project or every time you followed someone that has captivated you with a vision, it's because they knew where they were going, right? So that's the first stage of leadership. The second stage of leadership, we're going to call a little bit more pastoral leadership. It's more about, hey, I'm still going to do this thing that I'm calling you to do, but this time I want you to help me do it, right? So it's not so much, come watch me or come be with me. It's come and help me, right? So now you're calling someone to be come alongside of you. And it's also a phase in leadership where people get a little more discouraged. Think about this, Robert. Think about any time that you followed someone, inevitably discouragement sets in, right?
Absolutely.
What are some of the reasons why discouragement can sit in?
You might say, I'm not equipped. Mm-hmm. I'm not like this guy. Mm-hmm. He's way above my skill set.
Yeah. The initial enthusiasm kind of wears off.
Right.
Right?
It's not what I thought it was.
It's not what I thought it was. It's harder than I thought it was. Or maybe it is what I thought it was, and it's really hard. Mm-hmm. For back to the biblical example, Jesus calls these men who are performing their trade and calls them to step away from that trade. Guess what happens to their livelihood?
Mm-hmm. It changes.
Loss of income, yep. Right? So they suffered financial loss by following Jesus.
This is what I know, and I'm doing something different.
They left their families. Mm-hmm. So now there's a relational sacrifice that had to be made. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things come together, and maybe they were feeling a little discouraged, and Jesus senses that. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, he tells them the following. He senses that they're facing this discouragement, and he says, "So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." He comes in and is more pastoral. Little flock. That's how he addresses them. Mm. He's a shepherd, right? He's encouraging them. He's loving them. There's a tenderness to the way he's talking to them.
Is that how you talk to your team? The Filipino team? Come here, my little flock.
So when your Filipino team lost the championship...
Make a damn layup in my little flock.
So they lost the championship this week. I'm sure you called them all on Monday and said, "Hey, my little flock, it's okay. We're going to have another season. Let's get it together, guys. Go shoot some more hoops."
They knew from the get-go that it was not going to happen to be. I mean, he said the guys were dunking.
So the vision cast is, we want second place.
No, we want to do what we want.
We are the losers.
We are going to do our best. And, whatever happens.
I'll tell you this much, though. You didn't go to the game, but you would be super proud of the way they played. This team, this championship team, was blowing out other teams by 60 points. I mean, that's how it got comical. But they only won. They only beat our Filipino brothers. They only beat them by 15 points.
Really?
And I mean, it was.
Wow.
15 sounds like a lot.
No, but it's competitive.
It's, yeah, it was competitive. It was fun. It was even like they what made did them. I say? They made them break a sweat, and so there's a lot to. No, seriously. It's a lot to be proud of. But coming back to our leadership square, so this second stage is a pastoral moment. And so as you lead, men, think about those that you lead, and maybe you sense that they're discouraged. It's time to be more pastoral. Jesus spent more time with them. He got closer to them. He was tender with them. Going back to our basketball illustration, I was coaching a team myself. First two games, we came out the gate. We won our first two games. And then we lost four. So after the second loss in a row, there was some discouragement that set in.
So then you went with the my little flock?
So I had to gather them before the game. We did a little prayer time, a little devotional. I said, listen, guys, I just reminded them, look, it's not really about winning or losing games. It's fun to win. But here's the main goal of what we're trying to do. And just kind of assured them that it's okay. You know, obviously, we came out of the gate pretty strong and felt good about ourselves, but then some discouragement set in.
Reset expectations.
So there was a pastoral moment that had to be done there. I texted him throughout the week and just asked him for prayer requests.
You're not a loser.
Of course not. This is not what you say
to your little kids,
just
George.
To encourage you. George is coaching a basketball team. You guys lost your first game. And how what did you do to them after that first loss?
Made them wear t-shirts that says losers.
I was really down. Actually, I apologized to him and I said I felt like I let you guys down, like I didn't have you prepared as well, and I need to
but
do
that's,
a better
that's
job.
A, really but that's down. A pastoral mm-hmm. thing to mm-hmm. do mm-hmm. to say, hey, listen, this one's on me.
This was on me.
Yeah.
And I had cast a vision before of what I expected them to be, and then last game we came out and played a lot better and won. So, yeah.
And, you know, we don't know what the rest of the season will unfold like for you. For us, it turned out to be more losses, but you know what? It did, but it was okay. We kept our heads... held high, and we kept playing, and it was, you know, it turned out to be a good season regardless. And so that's the point of it, is we want to be pastoral in this second stage of leadership, this second phase of leadership. So you might be in season one, in stage one, where you're casting vision and you're helping people see a vision, Or you might be in stage two, where you're more pastoral. Stage three then becomes a consensus type of leadership. This one is more like, hey, this time I'm going to delegate some responsibility to you. I'm going to give you some tasks to do, and I'm going to come alongside of you and help you.
Step back a little.
Step back. So in the second stage, it was, hey, I'm doing something. Come and help me. Now it's, you're doing something. Let me help you. Mm-hmm. This is when you start saying to someone, hey, how about you know,
take
again,
ownership.
We're going back to our basketball right. illustration, but how about you take over for a little bit? How about you carry the ball? How about you become the point guard? You bring the ball up the court. I'm going to put the ball in your court.
How about you design maybe some plays that you think would work now that we've been
absolutely. Now, you can't do that when you're bringing a team together for the very first time, right? You're setting the vision. We're going to win. This is the kind of offense we're going to run. This is what we're doing. But after a while, you start noticing some leadership patterns emerge. And now you're saying to some of the players, hey, I want you to call the play in the huddle, right?
Yeah, I want
input. Them to hear your voice, right? That's consensus leadership. And Jesus did this well. In John chapter 15, he says to his disciples, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in the slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. So look at that. He's changing the tone of a relationship with them. He's saying, you're not my servants. You're not my slaves anymore. Now, our relationship is different. I can call you a friend now, right? And that's a pretty intimate thing where you can come to someone and say, you've reached a level where I can consider you my friend. And so this is a consensus type of relationship. So now maybe you're in this third stage of leadership where there is consensus. Now you can ask for their input. Whereas in the first stage or second, you weren't asking for input. Right, you were setting the tone, you were casting vision, you were telling them this is what we're going to do. Now you're coming out to them and saying, hey, what do you think about this problem? How can we tackle this? Where's the solution to this? I lead a life group, and in my life group, I think we've reached this third or fourth stage of leadership, whereas in the beginning of my life group, I wasn't telling all 10 people there in my life group, hey, when should we meet, guys? What time works best for all of you? You know what happens if you do that in the first week? You'll never reach consensus. Right? Everyone has a different idea. No, what I did is I said, we're going to meet on Thursday nights. It's going to be 7 o'clock. Bring your Bibles. We're going to meet from this time to this time. This is what we're going to do. Now we've reached a stage where like, hey guys, it's summertime. You guys want to do a fun social activity? Let's go to the park and barbecue, or let's do something different. Because we can now get some consensus because we know each other better and we know that we have our best interest at heart. So there's stage three, which is consensus leadership, which is you do, I'm going to come alongside of you and help. The fourth stage of leadership we're going to call delegation leadership. And this is where you're really entrusting and empowering those that you are leading and delegating to them basically all of the responsibilities. And you're just there for moral support, for encouragement, more of a you do and I'll watch. Think of it this way. The very last things that Jesus says to his disciples at the end of the book of Matthew, he tells them the following. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I didn't finish that passage, but it goes on and he goes on and says, I'm going to always be with you. Jesus says it. But now it's your turn to go. Mm-hmm. Now it's your turn to disciple. Now it's your turn to teach, to baptize, to go to the nations. I've given you all the tools that you need. I'm confident in your ability. Your competence has risen from the first moment I saw you and I called you out of that fishing boat. You are now competent. He's looking at guys who have been with him for several years and they've been through some battles together. They've seen some things.
I'm confident that you now know enough to do.
He's come alongside of Peter and has to be pastoral Peter. He's seen Peter at his worst. And now he's looking at him in the eyes and saying, now go. Go and do the things that I've told you, taught you to do. So this is a delegation style of leadership. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest mistakes we make as leaders is we rush to delegation. Is we want to rally people, we give them a vision, and then we say, okay, and then we want to delegate right away. Because we've been told that the key to good leadership is to delegate. And it is, but when we get to that stage. And sometimes we got to work our way there before we get to that stage. So don't be so quick to delegate. But by the other token...
And also, don't ever delegate something that you're not willing to do. Because sometimes we use the word, I'm delegating, and the truth could be, I just like to do that task.
Yep.
So you should never delegate something that you're not willing to do.
And the other side of this, some of us never get to the point of delegation because either we can't trust those that we lead, or we think we have this control thing where we want to do it ourselves.
Or no one can do it as well as I do.
Or you think about those things, nobody can do it the way I do it. So Jesus said, go and baptize, go and teach. And I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be watching over you, but I want you to do the work. You delegate. Yeah. And so that's the fourth stage of leadership.
Good word.
So real good quick reminder. Summary. Good stage reminder. One is visionary. I'm setting the vision. Stage two is pastoral. I'm going to come alongside of you and pastor you. Third stage is consensus, building some kind of camaraderie consensus. And fourth stage is to delegate. Which one of those four stages of leadership do you currently find yourself in? And how can you grow in that stage that you're in? All four stages are important. It's not just about progressing from one stage to the next. It's about identifying where you're at and being the best leader in the season that you find yourself in. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, I want to thank you listening to our podcast. Hopefully this was useful to you. You got a few laughs in the way. And don't forget, we're super excited for Men's Gathering happening on September 13th.
And our new equipment.
Until next time, we're signing off. Charge! The Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast.
Carmen Gia.